The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Big day in Chicago sports. You'll remember this one forever, where the manager who managed the White Sox in the 80s, as Rick Hahn said, is welcomed home in 2020. 10 years he hasn't managed in. He last managed in Game 7 of the World Series. He is a Hall of Fame manager. He is number three all-time in wins. He has won multiple championships. But 86.7% of the voters so far on my Twitter poll, brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. You can vote on my Twitter handle at Waddle and Sylvie. How do you feel about the White Sox hiring Tony La Russa to be their manager? 86.7% of the vote says it's a bad move. 13.3% say it's a good move. You got to pick a lane. Do it.
I wonder what's, as we, there's no... A nuance attached to that, but I wonder if they think it's a bad move because AJ Hinch was available, or they just don't like Tony La Russa. What the reason why 86% of the people didn't like it?
Yeah,
is it mostly because you think there was a better option out there? And
well,
like
let's
Dallas
go through
said
the
earlier,
reasons. I mean, there was a better option out there. The guy hasn't managed in 10 years. The general manager who has rebuilt the roster wasn't allowed to rebuild with his own manager.
That doesn't mean that the choice isn't a good choice, though. It just means that the path you took to it didn't seem fair to the guy who rebuilt the team. You can undermine the general manager who's done a great job, but still find a guy that's a good manager and helps you win a title. Those are mutually exclusive.
But are you better off as an organization doing business that way?
That's a different question.
Like we brought up then, are the Sox stronger today because of this when they went above Rick Hahn and made this decision? And now, like we pointed out earlier, what if an important roster decision is coming up? What if Tony La Russa wants a player and Rick Hahn doesn't? What if Rick Hahn wants a player and Tony La Russa doesn't? And then are we forced again where Jerry Reinsdorf has to mediate between the general manager and the manager, much like we had with Kenny and Ozzie?
It's going to be a very interesting watch for sure.
So, I just don't like even that they didn't talk to A.J. Hinch. What's the harm with interviewing A.J. Hinch? They interviewed Willie Harris. They did not elect to interview
I think you interview as many people as you can to get some intel on what other people think of your roster and other
things.
Sure,
yeah, what the Astros do. Look, I know you cheated. What'd you do to develop the players? What'd you do from... To take the next step from becoming a rebuilding team to finally winning the World Series.
Just go pick some brains.
What have you learned with your failures in Arizona to your successes in Houston? What do you attribute that to? Like, learn more about managing. Learn more about the league. Learn more about ways of developing players. I don't get it. The Bulls for years had completely avoided a process. And a process is never bad.
Right.
Conduct a process.
Do some processing. Pick some brains.
Here's Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn today at the press conference introducing Tony La Russa.
It was clear that this next hire as manager needed to be someone who was capable of taking us to that next level. You know, quite frankly, as we talked a couple, 3 weeks ago when we initiated this process, this obviously played out a little differently than I initially described I thought it would for all of you. When we discovered, when Tony was receptive to Jerry's original overtures about potentially coming back and taking this position, that changed the focus. You know, I will say there were far more names considered, discussed, vetted, even interviewed than have been discussed publicly. I'm actually good with that because, as we said a few weeks back when we talked about this search, I'm not real keen on having names of those who don't get the job out there publicly. That's up to them if they want to disclose that. But it was a broader endeavor than what's been at least leaked out to the media. But once it became clear that Tony was very much open to this possibility, the process did change and the focus became making sure we could figure out a way to make it work with Tony. As for the ultimate decision about how this takes place, or I should say the ultimate decision about going with Tony, you've heard me say over the last several years on major decisions that it's about consensus, that it's a conversation between the chairman, Kenny, and myself, and ultimately we come to a conclusion together. You know, quite frankly, sometimes it moves along more quickly, like when we talk about making the commitment necessary to sign a guy like Luis Robert. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, like it perhaps does when you're deciding the right time to pivot to a rebuild, as we did a few years back. But the one thing that's consistent is that in the end, when the decision is made, we all are fully committed to making this everything work in the best interest of the White Sox. And everyone's on the same page when that final decision is made. And as you know, someone who was in the room discussing that decision, I can tell you that this was made with the intent solely on putting us in the best position to win championships. It's obvious or easy to fall back on some old narratives that this was about friendship or potentially righting old wrongs or something like that. In the end, Tony was the choice because it's believed that Tony is the best man to take us help us win championships over the next several years and usher us into what we expect to be a very exciting phase for White Sox baseball.
It's believed.
Yeah, and look, I don't believe for a second that if Jerry Reinsdorf and Tony La Russa weren't friends, and if Tony La Russa had never worked for the White Sox and he had the same credentials, 10 years hadn't managed, third in overall wins, multiple championships, that they would have knocked on Tony La Russa's door. This is all about friendships. This is all about righting the wrong, no matter how they dial it up. Because if he didn't manage and if the friendship didn't exist, I don't believe they're knocking on a door of a manager who's been retired for 10 years. I don't. Do you?
No, I don't.
So here's Tony La Russa at the press conference today.
I am really excited to be here today. I know enough people are asking why. And I think there's two answers, at least two major answers. One is during the last bunch of years that I've been upstairs, whether it be for MLB or the D-backs, Angels, or Red Sox, it was a wonderful opportunity to stay close to the game, watch the game from upstairs. It was very difficult, increasingly so, to sit there and think about what's going on downstairs. You know, when you're an advisor, it's something I enjoyed, but I always had this thought, man, it's more fun it's more fun downstairs. I did get a fresh opinion, observation point for how difficult front office work is. I got better feel for scouting and player development, all that thing, but my heart was always in the dugout. And to that, when the first inquiry was made about the White Sox, I perked up because being frustrated being upstairs, but more particularly, I think all managers would understand this. I think everybody would understand this, how rare it is to get an opportunity to manage a team that's this talented and this close to winning. Most of the time your chances are the opposite. So the combination of looking forward to getting back down there and checking myself, you know, to have the energy and all that stuff, and the White Sox making the call with a chance to win sooner rather than later. I'm excited that they made that choice and looking forward to what's ahead.
There he is, Tony La Russa, your new White Sox manager.
Giddy up.
312-332.
Really excited.
That I did laugh at that. It did, because that's the last sound of a person who sounds very excited.
I am really excited.
It's great to be here with you all.
I am really excited.
Great to be here with each and every one of you.
James on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say this, you know, I love you both. Waddle, you're my best ever, man.
Sylvie, back at you, James.
Glad you're strong, man. Hey,
check this
out, though. So I know you guys are familiar with Atari, ColecoVision, and Tandy 1000, because we all around the same age, or y'all probably a little older than me. I'm 43.
Oh, but guess what? Older.
Tommy Lasorda. Oh, yeah. So Tommy Lasorda, he might have seen a Tandy 1000. He don't know how to use a Mac, man. So I'm happy for the decision for other reasons, because I'm on the South Side, but I'm always a Cubs fan. You know, Chicago only has one baseball team. So, so you got to realize, you ever tried to use a PS5, play a PS5 after you'd have played a ColecoVision? Come on now. It don't work. Old school baseball rules and new school baseball rules, they don't even jive. And I know we're not talking about the Bears weather, but guess what? Them boys don't play in the cold right now. They from like Florida or something. They haven't been in Chicago long enough. And I know we're not talking about it, so I leave it alone. Go ahead. I hear your comments.
Thank you. Thanks, James. Tony La Russa did have a video game, by the way. I know he was just making
it. Did he?
Did you know Tony La Russa, Baseball 95?
No.
Yeah.
No. What happened
EA
in there?
EA Sports. Did you guys know that?
Manager standing on the top step yelling at everybody.
No, yeah, I've played it. It was an arcade game. There was never a line for it, because all you did is you sat there and you watched a baseball game. And every time someone bat flipped and they walked back into the dugout, you just hit A to
jokes,
yell at them.
Jokes,
you just yelled at them.
Jokes.
And then every once in a while, you'd have to make a pitching change. And then you just kind of stood at the – then you press B to get a piece of gum. And then, C would turn on the Gatorade sign.
See, Sylvie, what's funny is – You asked two millennials if we played Tony La Russa baseball, but come on, when we were kids in the 90s, it was all about Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, backwards
hats. I played
hats.
RBI baseball, yeah, is what mine was. I was Nintendo RBI baseball.
RBI, MVP baseball was a game back in the day. I honestly have never heard of Tony La Russa baseball.
Yeah, someone tweeted that to me. I'll tweet out the cover of the game coming up.
Was it actually a game that went into one of the systems? Because you know how they used to have those handheld, you know, those bogus games that were like the little screen on the device. It was like all in one item. Do you guys remember those
games?
Well,
this was an EA Sports game.
Was it really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
An EA Sports
game. Look at that. He was the baseball
game.
John Madden. Look at him go.
Yes.
There you go.
John Madden's going to be managing the Bears soon. He could coach the Bears.
He'd be better.
Come back.
Yeah. He'd be better. Let's do that.
Boom. Will in Des Plaines.
Hank Stram's still around?
Will in Des Plaines, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Will?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hope you're doing well. Just want to say I love the hire. I think it's a tremendous hire. Got a lot of, you know, respect for Tony La Russa's career and what he's accomplished. I think there's nothing wrong with writing a wrong, if that's what you want to consider it. You know, a lot of people, I guess, in the organization don't like the decision, but I mean, it's okay. If they want to leave, they can. One thing I've noticed, the White Sox pretty much don't go out of their way to hire outsiders. So it pretty much falls in line. And Tony La Russa will get the most out of the White Sox players. I mean, to be honest, it's my opinion that Mr. Rick Renteria made huge mistakes. Luis Robert batting seventh. Grandal hitting before Abreu and Jimenez. Pulling Danny Dunning after, I believe it was, two outs or something like that in the playoff series against Oakland that they should have won. Now, I'm not saying they should have won the World Series. I don't think they're ready for that. Add a couple of free agents. But those were huge mistakes. All season long, I think the team underachieved under Renteria. I do not think they were underachieved with Tony La Russa at the helm. I do not.
All right, so, Will. Go Good stuff.
Yeah, like I said, my mantra today has been he's not baseball stupid. I hope that he will be able to relate to his team. As people have pointed out, look, he managed Ricky Henderson. He managed the Bash Brothers. He managed Pujols, who would pimp a home run every now and again. I mean, so, I mean, he's been around guys who have had personalities, so here's hoping that he has evolved on a number of fronts.
Jesse was just at the World Series, and this was the talk of the series. He has also covered the press conference, and he's talked to a lot of people around baseball today. What did they say about the hiring of Tony La Russa? And all your phone calls up next.
PN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Let's talk to Jesse Rogers, who is at the World Series talking to a lot of people. He covered the White Sox press conference today, and he has also continued that conversation with many people around Major League Baseball through the phones and through Zoom chats since the press conference. He's on the Corona Hotline, and he's on Waddle and Sylvie right now. What's up, Jesse?
Well, guys, in 10 years of coming on your show, hockey and baseball, I've been wrong about two things. The Cubs would
just
not
two?
Sign Craig.
Just two? Are you kidding me? I mean, you come on here and profess falsehoods from the very beginning.
Right, from the start. Craig Kimbrel signing with the Cubs, I did not think was going to happen. And like many people outside of Bob Nightingale, I did not think that we would come to this, but they have. But I did tell you 2 weeks ago when this was first rumored that people in baseball aren't as shocked as people outside of baseball, like the average fan or whatever the case may be, like you and I just watching from afar. That executives and other people in the game, like, this guy's still pretty sharp. This is not such a out-of-left-field type of move. And I continue to hear that from people. I talked to Billy Epler, the former Angels GM, who just worked with La Russa. And to me, it sounded like the same sort of thing that David Ross went through the last few years. Upstairs, in the suite, talking with the other executives, talking through the game, talking about what you would do here, what you would do there. In fact, Epler was the one learning from La Russa, not the other way around. So this is not as out of left field as I said before. I think there's a mob mentality here, guys. And I know you listen to the press conference. Don't you feel a little bit better after hearing him a little bit? That this guy's a little bit more on top of things than most people gave him credit for before we heard from him.
I'm going to be honest with you, Jess. I felt better after listening to Ryan Terrio than I did after listening to the press conference. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. And Terrio is included in this fraternity that doesn't have a lot of bad things to say about him. Now, he's not perfect. In fact, I was talking to someone that said when he retired, you know, he needs to connect with the Latin American player and maybe more so now. Because I think they're showing their personality more, right? We know that we've gone in that direction, which he addressed. I think maybe there were some issues with the Latin player with Tony over the years. And that's certainly something with the White Sox he's going to have to address. And not just talking Spanish, like you have to establish relationships. These are the leaders of the team. So there's these little things that certainly has to do after a decade away. But it certainly sounds like he understands what he has to do. I'll go back to what I said to you 2 weeks ago. I don't think he's incapable of having success. I just thought there were better candidates. I think it sounds like most people, like you guys, agree with that assessment.
Well, Jesse, are they worried at all about Rick Hahn? Rick Hahn, we efforted, and he is not available to do anything. He didn't speak long today. He did not sugarcoat it when he mentioned that this was more of a consensus, and it's always been that way, and how it played out differently from what he thought. This is a guy who built the team from the ground up. Then it was his turn to pick the manager, and the owner superseded him.
Yeah, the owner did. The owner did. I will give him credit for admitting to a lot of that. Like, that was the reason 2 weeks ago when I was on with you that I still thought it wouldn't be Tony, because the hiring would go against everything Hahn had said simply the day before about the recent championship experience, about, and the question I asked Hahn today about, you know, 10 years out of the game, the game changes. Joe's talked about that. Madden, how the game, the players have changed so much. Theo has talked about that in just a short amount of time, and now you have to get this guy up to speed. So, you know, it did go against everything he thought in that opening presser, in that postseason presser, I should say. But at least he admitted that today. It did change gears once Jerry reached out to Tony. Look, we know that this was Jerry's call. Maybe Tony had to convince Kenny and Rick, and they signed off on it. But we all know this was Jerry's call, and, you know, that's problematic on one hand because he's not the GM, but he is the owner, and owners get to do what they want.
Jesse, what was your impression of how Rick sounded as he presented Tony La Russa as the next manager of the White Sox?
I mean, as good as can be, I guess, because he was going against the grain in terms of things he's already said, and that's why I'm glad he didn't try to sugarcoat it or spin it. He admitted this is a different direction than I thought we would go in. But again, they're not hiring Terry Bevington here. I mean, this is worst case. This guy's just a little bit out, out of the game a bit, and they need to get him up to speed. Best case, he's going to be the old Tony La Russa. And, you know, like I've written and said before, he has managed in both leagues in different eras. The only knock is the 10 years out of the dugout. But like I said, he's been upstairs talking baseball with three different teams, including one that won a championship. And he's been on top of things talking. And Billy Epler told me he talked about the younger players and the younger generation and showing, you know, the way they show emotion and stuff. So this is a guy aware of things. That's my feeling on Rick. Worst case, this isn't the worst hire in the world. Best case, maybe it is a home run.
Jesse, do we know two things here I want to ask you? So answer both of these. Mm-hmm. Did we find out how long the contract is for? And did we find out at all if there's a manager in waiting who could be his bench coach or someone learning under him as he hands the baton to them?
I did not hear anything about a bench coach in terms of one in waiting. I think this is going to be, you know, most managers get to pick their bench coach. So La Russa is probably going to pick someone he feels comfortable with. But I assume this isn't going to be someone that's 71 years old, right? It's going to be more than likely someone younger, but I don't know if it's a manager in training. Now, I initially heard 3 years, but that's not anything official. I mean, most of the time, these kind of contracts would be 3 years. I don't see a 5-year deal for a 76-year-old. So I have nothing official, but I had heard that. I thought maybe that had come out already. I guess Hahn did not announce that, and they certainly didn't announce in the presser. So what I heard was 3 years. But if it's not official, I guess it's not official.
Has there been any response, whether it's on social media or has anybody talked to any of the White Sox players and their reaction to the hiring of Tony La Russa?
You know, I texted Lucas Giolito, but I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any tweets in the last little while I've been writing. But I'm curious to hear that as well, Tommy. I think it's a good idea to talk to these guys and see how they sort of walk that tightrope. Like, I mean, a 22-year-old, what's he know about Tony La Russa, right? But mm-hmm. He's got to also understand this guy does have a resume. But I think those are good questions. This is not your normal hire, but I have not talked to a Sox player this afternoon.
Any other nuggets or any other Cubs news that you may have for their fan base?
Well, it's what you've heard, and I've been forecasting you for a month. The cash flow isn't exactly there. They fired all these people in the office, which I told you guys about. The payroll is going to come down. I have heard a lot of interest in Cubs catchers, and that makes sense because they have two good ones, and they're not going to have the luxury of keeping both, in my opinion. There's just too many holes to fill. I don't think they're going to keep Contreras and Caratini. If I had a guess, Contreras would get you net you the most in return, and he'd be the guy that probably goes. Caratini's the Darvish whisperer. They'd probably bring in a veteran and they would share duties or something like that. So I still think that Contreras probably will be gone. KB is probably going to be gone in a trade more than likely. And we'll see where it goes. I think they'd be absolutely open for a new leadoff hitter still at whatever, you know, if they could trade one of these guys and get a leadoff hitter back, I think they'd be open for that.
But
just sure.
Like you were saying, though, if the Cubs are dealing with financial issues, aren't other teams dealing with them? So who is going to trade maybe for some of these guys that are going to eventually be free agents?
I think it's a complicated question because there are teams that similar situations, but teams that don't rely on their attendance as much actually might have a better chance of taking on Chris Bryant for 1 year at $20 million. The Cubs rely on their attendance. The Cardinals rely on their attendance for revenue. They expect that. They bake that into their payroll. Some teams don't, and that's the weird thing. Some teams work along the lines like, we know we don't have a huge attendance. We have to we're going to spend this kind of money, you know, because we have this kind from whatever other revenue streams they get. So it's a complicated question, but absolutely other teams are in that spot. But there are also other teams a little bit more desperate for a World Series championship. You know, if the Braves think they're one player away, just using that as an example, if the Blue Jays think they're going to make a jump into the next tier, those teams might be willing to stretch a little bit. The Cubs obviously are not in that situation. I thought 2020 was going to be the transition year. I still think 21 will be. And that includes transitioning the power structure, but also because of what's gone on the payroll as well.
Jesse, with the surprises going on in baseball, Colton Wong wasn't tendered.
Yep.
He's free. Brad Hand wasn't tendered either. He had a 2 ERA, and they'd rather get out from his contract. The Cubs aren't going to just salary dump, are they? Tell me that's not going to be the case.
I don't believe so. Now, the first thing on the list is your buddy, first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Okay, he's got an option that has to be picked up in the next 3 days. As of this moment, it has not been picked up. Now, I fully believe it will. I fully believe it will. But if it's not, it's part of this whole Colton Wong, Brad Hand experience here that you would never expect the Cubs not to pick up a $16.5 million option. But this would be the 1 year that it's possible. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. You're going to see a tweet from me, or I'm going to call you tomorrow and say they've picked up the option. But that's first and foremost on the list.
That would be very surprising to me if they didn't pick that
up. I agree. And then in the next 5 days, you have to announce something about John Lester because he has an option. Now, the tenders come later. The Chris Bryants, the Schwarbers, those are the guys I don't think would be non-tendered, but I'm not 100% on it like I would have been a year ago. This is a new uncharted territory we're in with money in baseball. So if no one's going to trade for Chris Bryant and they don't have $20 million to pay him, for all I know, they will non-tender him. So
well,
I can't tell you for
business.
Sure.
That would be bad
business.
Yeah,
I agree with
you. If you get Zippo for Chris Bryant, and just because to save $20 million, that's bad business.
It is, and that's why I don't expect it. And maybe it'd be Schwarber, who's $8 million. I don't expect it, but I just don't know for sure. Things we were sure of a year ago, I'm not sure
of now. There are going to be some teams that do have some cash, if this is the case, that are going to pick up some players, I would think, that will bolster their team.
I agree. I think there will be some opportunistic teams.
Yeah.
You know, the owners of the Padres, these guys are eccentric. I know them. They're eccentric. I'm sure the pandemic hurt, but the Padres don't rely on attendance that much. Maybe they're willing to take a hit to win a World Series. That's the point. What are you willing to do to get to the next level? And I don't think the Cubs are in that mode.
All right, Jesse,
thanks.
Thanks,
Jess.
Okay, guys, take care.
See you, there you go. Mark Jean Greco will join us coming up, get his thoughts on Tony La Russa.
Yeah, you're whippersnapper.
Yeah, Tony's younger brother, Mark.
It's coming up next, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Mark Jean Greco's inside our first Midwest Bank studio. You can watch it all on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And he's back in your life once again, Marky. Tony La Russa.
You know what? We've known this is coming for two weeks.
You guys, like, nod at each other when you walk by?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, like, knowing this was coming still did not lessen the shock when it was made official. It's just... Look,
you feel different about it now after it's happened versus the prospect of it happening?
Maybe I was predisposed, okay? But when Tony popped up on the screen today for that Zoom interview, granted, the camera's pointing up, it's not lit well. You know how we all look on Zoom interviews. He looked all of 76 and more and tired and slow. And look, Tony was always a very soft-talking, deliberate guy. I loved him when he was that young, cool, up-and-coming manager with the Sox. I first got to town in 82, so I got to cover him for 4 years. Great guy. I loved him. And he was such a stud. He was such a cool dude through all the years in Oakland and St. Louis. I mean, obviously his resume speaks for itself. Why would a Hall of Famer want to come back and do this? The bigger question is, why would the Sox do this? And I take my hat off to Rick Hahn, who today was the most professional team player, gritting his teeth and saying with a straight face that he was not bulldozed by Jerry Reinsdorf and that this was a consensus decision. This, my cameraman, Dwight Payne, who you all know very well, was over at Sox Park, caught Rick coming out of his office, and Dwight was going to roll on it and video him. He goes, please do not shoot me. Do not take any pictures of me. And Dwight, being on Sox property, said, okay, I'm sorry. He said, thank you very much. I appreciate it. He was so pissed walking out of there.
Really? It's just, he said, do not photo me.
Please do not take any pictures.
Well, think about it. What they basically did was they took the power away from him to hire the guy he wanted after building this fabulous team. And then they put him out in front of the presentation and the introduction, which I get it. He's the general manager. He's going to introduce the new manager. But it
And again,
it
he was so professional in answering perceived questions.
Right.
It was a preemptive strike that was planned out, and he said, I'm not going to, you know, steal the thunder here. This is Tony's day and everything else. I mean, this is the most bizarre, weirdest headline in a weird year of headlines.
Is it really, or
yes,
is it just
yes,
Jerry it Reinsdorf has hired the next manager of the
Chicago
White Sox? No,
it's Jerry Reinsdorf pining and whining and wanting to make his biggest regret right. And even Tony today said, hey, this is all untrue. You know, he at the time, he ruined my life by firing me. Well, as I recall, he was hired by Oakland in 5 seconds after they let him go. And for them to sit out here and do this, and then when he's confronted with the two biggest questions, bat flipping, players showing their personality, celebrating, social injustice, peaceful protest. And he actually took him a while to get there, of course, but he basically was saying about peaceful protest that in 2016, he made some comments, but now I get it, and I'm all for it if it's sincere. And he kept saying, if the celebration is sincere, if the protest is sincere. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then later on, he clarified it by saying, I want them to go out in the community and do something to back up the social protest on the field. Okay, I'll give him that. But we talked to Ron Kittle today, too. And, you know, Kitty's old school. And he's like, oh, he's going to be great. He's going to keep everybody in line. And I'm going, that's exactly my point. No, you don't keep guys in line now and abide by the unwritten rules of baseball that are out the window in 2020. I just don't see it working.
Well, and the counter to that would be, and I get, and that was my biggest question. Like I said, when we came on the air today, he's not football, or he's not baseball stupid. I mean, he's got a Hall of Fame resume.
Brilliant.
Can he connect to the 2021 Major League Baseball player because he's been out of the game for 10 years? But people have said, listen, he had the Bash Brothers. He had Ricky Henderson. Mm-hmm. He had Pujols, who would pimp a home run every now and again. Some would argue that he's been there before. Now, again, I don't know how he'll handle this exciting, talented, fun-to-watch White Sox team.
It all hinges on his staff and who he brings with him. Dave Duncan, who's 75, a year younger, said,
yeah, I ain't doing this.
I'm not doing this. You know, maybe some consulting, whatever, but I like doing nothing. And, you know, and I get that. So it depends on who he surrounds himself with, who can take care of that kind of stuff, pulling a player aside and saying, hey, man, you know, trying to strike a compromise there. But again, maybe I was just predisposed and I was expecting the worst and I projected that. But Tony looked like a tired old guy who's going to give it one more shot, endangering the meteoric rise of this team that Rick Hahn built. And let me tell you something. Rick Hahn did all the work when Kenny Williams was the general manager. And Kenny took the credit. Rick did all of that. And you know that he's seething today. I'm speaking for him. And
I said I wanted to high-five him and hug him after I saw him today.
He was so good. It was unbelievable. You talk about being a professional team player, standing up there and doing that. And
Mark, I said that there's a job with the baseball operations title that's going to be opening up on the north side of town. If I'm Tom Ricketts and Theo's walking out the door, there's one guy and one guy only I'm calling first.
See, it's a big Sox story. He's going to turn it to Cubs.
But
I get you. I totally agree, Sylvie. I totally agree. It's one of the first things that came into my mind.
Calls. Hey, if in fact you are a little bit down about the situation, just know here's a shoulder to cry.
And this is a typical Sox thing. It's like here you are. If you're a diehard Southsider, you've been waiting for this forever. Every step, you're getting more and more excited. Now you're like, what? You just knocked the train off the rails, put it into a wall.
Yeah, they may be too good to knock it off, but it's.
Do you want a team that's going to continue to win in spite of its manager who, you know, halfway through the season? Here's another thing. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Now, Tony, about 10 years ago, had a bad case of shingles, okay? And being 76, hey,
I did too.
What,
10
are you
years
forecasting
ago?
COVID for him? What
no,
are you
but
doing
I'm just saying.
Awful. One of the most
I'm just saying.
You'll
how
ever
are
have.
You going to comport yourself? Hey, look it.
Yeah.
I'm 68.
Had shingles last year.
I'm 68. I got the shingles. I have every shot known to man. I'm a pincushion. Okay, I have to be extra careful.
And you got shots.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to be extra careful. He's 8 years older than I am. So health has to be an issue, especially in the middle of a pandemic.
By the way, how are
you going to interact with people? And how are you going to take care of yourself? Dion asked him that question today in the Zoom. He didn't really answer it. So
yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of questions.
Marky just went from zero to Tony La Russa's the worst ever, didn't he?
He was the greatest. He was the greatest
was.
Of his era.
Yeah, 10 years he's been out. Jeff Passan did tweet, this is not reading between the lines with Rick Hahn. The hiring of Tony La Russa has ruffled feathers in the White Sox organization. A number of employees have concerns about his ability to connect with younger players. And how will he adapt to the field after being away 9 years? That was Jerry Reinsdorf's decision. Simple as that. And remember, he's starting in 2021. So it is a full decade that he has been out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take more of your calls, 332-3776. Mark, there's an anniversary today of one of the better rants on this radio station.
Wasn't mine?
It was not yours. Okay. You'll probably have something to say about this one. It happened 2 years ago. The game actually was 2 years ago today, and the rant was the very next morning. We'll play that for you and take your calls on La Russa next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Marcin Greco joins us. Been a while. As we have a lot to discuss with the Tony La Russa hiring, and thank you to Chicago Cut Steakhouse for continuing to partner with us.
I had to take a couple of days off because I'm old, you know.
Support Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
You know, I figured out I'm the oldest on-air person in this market now.
Who was previous to you?
Well, Carol Marine just retired. I'm talking about news anchors, sports, weather.
Really?
I'm older than Skilling. I'm older than Dan Rohn. I'm older than Jim Rose. I'm older than Lou Canellis, of course. I think I'm older than all the news anchors.
But you don't act that way.
My immaturity has served me well. I still act like a 35-year-old idiot.
Your work is on par with someone in their prime.
No doubt.
No, I'm not fishing for compliments here.
No,
I'm
but
just,
it's true.
I'm just trying to establish the fact that I know where I am in my career, and I'm still so baffled by the whole Tony thing that it's keeping me up at night. It's like it's making me nuts. Yeah, it's like, okay.
That seems to be a little bit too much angst for the hiring of a baseball manager.
I am so angst-ridden.
What if he wins a World Series title in 2021 with an ultra-talented team?
Then I have to apologize on this radio station for my rant.
You've found yourself in that situation before, haven't you? In a situation
apologizing?
Where you need to apologize?
Several times on national and local television.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I called Don King a murderer. I'm sorry I said the NBA Finals were rigged. Sorry.
The city of Detroit.
City of Detroit, yeah. And then there's others I can't even discuss. Yeah. What are you laughing at? The Don King thing was, so I had to issue an apology because his lawyers happened to be in town and heard me call him a murderer. So I corrected and said it was actually manslaughter.
I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then I got suspended again.
For doing that.
Yes. Because I didn't read the apology that they wrote. Because my spineless management people would
You're no Rick Hahn.
That's why I respect Rick Hahn so much, because he would never go off like this. Wouldn't that be great, Sylvie, though, if he just left an email?
Hey, I had absolutely nothing to do with this. This was not
great,
my choice.
Though, Sylvie, if he left an email tonight and said, I've accepted the position with the Chicago Cubs.
It would be great.
I'd
be excited.
That. Yeah.
Boy, that would be
anyway,
fantastic.
What's the rant you're talking
about? All right,
about?
So this is 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember. I was sitting next to Jesse Rogers, his son Nate, my son Mason. We got to see a historic performance by the do you remember this game? The Warriors scored like 90-some points in the first half.
Yes.
Klay Thompson had like 13 or 14 three-pointers in that game to set the record. They beat the Bulls by like 50. And, Bleck, you were working Cap Show the next morning, and then it gave us one of the most memorable rants on this radio station.
I'm not expecting them to go beat Golden State last night, but when you come out there and get punked where Klay Thompson's in the zone, so we're going to feed Klay Thompson, and no one is going to have the you-know-whats to come over there and go, bam, knock him down on a shot, foul. I'm not telling you to go break his nose. I'm not telling you to take his knees out. I'm telling you to close out on a shot and make sure his ass is on the ground. And then help him up and go, try it again. I'll knock your ass down again. Instead, they all got popcorn and sat there and went, go get him, Klay. Let's watch the record. I can tell my grandkids I was there when you hit all those damn shots.
The high voice, I love it.
Weren't we going to do that to Cap in the hallway? Take out his knees?
Bam!
Yeah. That's a good one.
Klay!
I remember showing the highlights of that game, and the setup shot was you in the crowd, Sylvie.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's BS.
No, it was. We had shots of you and Jess.
How about you just play better defense instead of hurting guys?
Wow.
It's like hitting someone with a baseball for hitting a home run.
Right. I'm going to hit you with this baseball because you took me
yard. So was he like that when he was an assistant coach? You think he was like that, taking a player aside and ripping him on the sidelines like that?
That's a good point. Maybe he sent a player out there to go after somebody.
Yeah, Tony La Russa style.
Ron, has
Tony La Russa done that?
Oh, my. Here's a great story. My predecessor at Channel 5, Rich Brenner, who lasted about a year in this market, and they shipped him back to Raleigh.
Why did he only last a year, Mark?
Because he was a small-time punk. He didn't know what he was doing. And so he went back to Charlotte like in 2 seconds to, you know, do NASCAR. But for the year that he was in Chicago.
I'm Googling Rich Brenner.
They mic'd Tony La Russa for a special. You know, they're just going to do a feature piece on Tony managing. He's wearing a microphone.
Oh, he's dead. He died in 2012.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
oh
he died. Rich Brenner, former Fox 8 sports anchor,
really?
Dead at 65.
See, I didn't
this
know
this was
that.
In 2012.
I did not
he's been
know
dead
that.
For almost 10 years.
Yeah.
All right.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Hey, I didn't know. Had I known, I never would have gone down that road.
See, he's apologizing already. We
see, there's another apology right in the middle of a rant. There's an apology.
So anyway,
mic Tony. They're going to do just a piece on Tony, you know, Nat sound of him managing. And he tells his pitcher to hit a guy. And suddenly the tape disappears. It became a big mystery over at Channel 5, where Rich apparently took the tape, didn't want Tony to get in trouble, just destroyed the tape, hit it, and that was the big story. Like, hey, you know, as a journalist, as a reporter, you shouldn't do that. It was a big controversy. But, you know, back in the day, the unwritten rules, Tony was like, okay, hit him. You know, and that's what they did back then. Okay, that was a good story.
You had that, and they decided to throw the...
You had me.
So they threw the tape away.
Wow.
Just
Ron
like
we have that damn Lee Elia tape,
exactly.
But we can't find that.
Yeah. The Lee Elia tape is missing, too. The video. We all have the audio.
Rich Brenner took it to his grave.
Oh, God. So you should apologize for that. How old was he? You said he was 65.
In 2012 is when he passed.
Wow. Yeah.
Bury me with that tape.
All right. I'm sorry for the Brenner family.
Bury Cap with that cat dog tape.
We got to take one call with you, Mark. Say hi to Ron in Libertyville.
Ron, bail me out.
I don't think he was interested in bailing you out.
He didn't want to be part of it.
I think his answer to that was no. I will not bail you out.
Keith and Harvey, bail him out.
Keith, you brave enough?
I got you, fellas. First of all, Waddle, Sylvie, Mark, Jim Greco.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Y'all are some of my favorites.
Appreciate
all right.
that.
3 points so. Right quick. First of all, you all been introducing Tony La Russa incorrectly. You should introduce him as the World Series champion manager of the Chicago White Sox for 2021.
Okay.
Ooh. Tony La Russa.
Really?
Second of all, Tony needs to make sure he keeps that CVS number available. They ship those vitamins there daily. Third of all, Now that we spent money on Tony La Russa, because I'm sure he didn't come cheap. Now that we spent money on La Russa, who are we going to get in free agency? My first pick would be the young man over in Houston, George Springer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I'll sit back and wait on your questions and answers.
It's good stuff.
I like, the three-parter. Very good.
And, yeah, I would endorse George Springer in a heartbeat. Go get a pitcher, too.
Tony's going to have his own drive-through lane at CVS.
La Russa Lane. Oh, boy.
Mark, see, I can make fun of him because I'm old. See,
tomorrow,
you're his much younger brother is what you are.
Not that much
younger. You're
10
years younger than him.
So today on our newscast, they interviewed my brother, who's a political strategist, and they chironed him as me.
Oh, no, yeah. Really?
Was your brother Pete pissed off?
Yeah,
or
he was insulted by that. Of course. Yeah. So we had to apologize on the air, which is another apology involving me. There it is.
Apologies come in three. Get ready to apologize.
All right, tonight at 10.
Wow. Hey, I heard you on the radio today. You're going to have to apologize for everything.
Thanks to David Flom and Maddie Moore for being great partners and just outstanding food. Carry out today.
Wait,
from
you had
Chicago Cut
You had Chicago Cut today in here?
We did not, no. But if we...
Oh, yeah. If you want to carry out.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, right? I mean, they're the best.
Because you don't include fantastic. Me in that order, then I'm really going to be upset.
You just want to do another hour? Or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'd like to.
You hear the
we
music?
Got Black and Abdallah
coming.
Yeah,
you're stealing time from Black and Abdallah.
I don't want to interfere in the La Russa show.
More of your calls coming up. 332-3776. Thanks to Jesse Rogers, Ryan Terrio, and Mark Gene Greco.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.